You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Today is our last live show of the year. We do have some Insight specials to round out 2023, but our team will be taking the next 2 weeks to get working on next year's shows. In what's become an Insight tradition, we've decided it would be fun to sign off for the year with some news you can use for the upcoming holidays. And we are specifically speaking about wine and music. Rick Cushman is our wine expert here on Insight, and Jennifer Reason, of course, is Cap Radio's classical host and a lover of the holiday season, coupled with good old wine. And they are literally the perfect pair to pair wine and music for the upcoming holidays. So welcome to you both. It's always a treat. It's a lot of fun.
Yay. Thank you. Welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
The perfect pair.
So before we dive into Jennifer's musical tour around the world, which is just awesome. You know, Rick, a lot of people are going to holiday parties right now. I mean, there's just a lot of socializing and gathering. What do you recommend people take?
Well, you know, one of the things to remember is most of those parties are what I call occasions of unintended fusion, right? Everybody brings all kinds of weird stuff, and
it's
they
a good
don't
way to
and
put
the,
it.
The sushi doesn't match the wings, you know. So, bring wines that are versatile. Bring wines that you like, but don't, you know, sort of like don't overdo it. Bring and so fun stuff, and I always talk about like in the non-red category, Jennifer's friend Bubbles.
My dear friend Bubbles.
Oh, my friend Bubbles,
and your
too.
Friend, too. Yeah. Absolutely. And rosé are two great examples. Sauvignon Blanc is good. You know, Sierra Foothills has some whites that work really well, like Vermentino, which a lot of the Foothill wineries make. And we tend to forget about it. In the red category, you know, Pinot Noir and Zinfandel are really good sort of all purposes. But the one thing that I always try to remember, and throughout when we start to talk about it, is still the most popular wines in California are Chardonnay and Cabernet, so you're never a loser. So if you're bringing a party or going to a party, what would you want to drink, Jennifer?
See, I land on the Sauvignon Blanc and the Pinot train myself, but Bubbles, seriously, if you hand me a glass of sparkling rosé, I will be happy the whole night.
Yeah, I go to Bubbles, for sure.
That is going to be actually the all-purpose answer to everything we talk about today.
Bubbles.
Yes.
Pink or otherwise.
And there are a lot of great options. I mean, obviously, you can go outside of California, but there are some wonderful California sparkling wines.
Oh, there are. There are many. And even our local areas, there are folks like, can we post? I don't know that we allowed.
We posted it on our show page.
I sent you some. Yes. So, but things like Acquiesce in Lodi, Andes in Amador, and then Napa Valley has so many great wineries. One of the homegrown ones there is Schramsberg. One of my faves is Schramsberg Blanc de Blanc, which means it's a bubbly made from completely Chardonnay, though it just makes it a little bit richer than some of the others. But there's, you know, lots there in Anderson Valley, which is a great and really inexpensive but classy, bubbly Piper Sonoma. There's so many.
I recently tried Scharfenberger, and it's from Mendocino County in the Anderson Valley. It was very good. I mean, the options are endless, whether you're up in the higher elevations or down in, you know, Napa, Sonoma, and the North Coast.
One way to think about it is if you like Pinot Noir, particularly, but Pinot Noir and Chardonnay, cooler wine regions, that's where bubbly is really good because bubbly needs to be cool. So if Pinot and Chardonnay are sort of their specialties, like they are in Burgundy and in France, that's where your bubbles come from.
We're lucky to live here.
Yeah. We are.
So before we get to the music, you're obviously going to bring something for the host if they're hosting a party. What is the best wine to give them? I mean, I typically bring two bottles, one for the party, one for the host. Is that the right etiquette?
That's lovely. I mean, I think, you know, that one of the things to do, if you want to signal that it's a gift, put it in a bag. Put one of them in a bag. You could say, you know, and the other one is, you know, do this whatever you'd like. This is for you. You can open it if it's something special. You could tell them that. You know, be direct and say, this is a special wine, for example. If it was bringing a Jennifer's party, you would say, this is a special bubbly.
Yes. Just for you.
And but it's once you give it to them, it is theirs to decide what to do with. So don't say no, or you got to open it or whatever. You know, it's totally theirs. So that's always sort of one of the keys is remember that you're just trying to be generous. And the other one is if you can, it's really nice to know either what they like or bring them a wine that has a personal touch for you. You know, that's because wine is that, right? Wine's a happy thing. And it makes us, there's always these stories we tell. And we saw this one time when we were, I don't know, going down the Central Coast or I was in France. You know, whatever that is you want to say. And that makes the wine very personal too.
Yeah. and creating an experience.
Yes.
So let's get into music. Well, Jennifer, you have curated December Around the World. Yes. Tell us about that.
Oh, I'm so excited. This is my third iteration of this special. And every year in December, I kind of take us on a tour around what does the rest of the world sound like? We are so inundated by Christmas carols here. But what are the unfamiliar tunes from other cultures?
Yeah. And we have a pretty fun, I guess it's become kind of like a game here on Insight, where literally Jennifer plays a clip and Rick on the spot knows what to pair it with. Well, it is so much fun.
He's never heard it.
Well, knows may not be the word. Suggests, however. But yes. I'm doing this blind.
Yeah. All right, so let's start in Turkey.
Great. Turkey it is.
There's some like spice to that.
Oh, well, you know what I learned is that Saint Nick is actually Turkish. So Istanbul in particular has a massive Christmas celebration, even though it's not a national holiday. But Saint Nick is from Turkey. So I found so many Turkish Christmas carols.
I learned something new today.
Okay, so first I got to say, Jennifer, you rock. That is such a great song.
Isn't it?
So that's a very Turkish song.
Yes.
So, you know, Turkey, by the way, Turkey is like one of the birthplaces of wine. You know, Georgia is sort of credited, but that whole region, wine goes back to 6,000 BC. And so that is one of the places. It's got to be a Turkish wine. And what comes to mind for me, which is one of their most well-known wine, is a wine called... Oh, I never get it right. Akuguzu. Akuguzu, I think, is how it's pronounced. You'll see it's got lots of accent marks on it. It means ox-eye. And it's this big, round, rich red that's got a little bit of acidity to it. So it's, you know, a little bit like an Italian wine, but it's just full of fruit, like red fruit. And it would be perfect with that song.
Mm.
All right, we're going to move to Israel, Jennifer.
Yes, we are in the middle of Hanukkah. So here is the Hanukkah Waltz with Bella Fleck.
Kind of like a sultriness to it, but also like a deliberateness to it as well.
And a touch of mystery.
Yes,
indeed. So, well, Israel is actually, it's become a really good wine region. A lot of it goes back, another country with a very long history, not quite as long as Turkey, but a very long wine history, thousands of years. But only in the last couple of decades have they really started producing, you know, international class wines, French grapes, and those sorts of things. A wine that grows really well there that I think is kind of a richer, one of my favorite whites that gets forgotten is Semillon. And you can find that foothills too, by the way, a handful of wineries. But that has it has a spice to the wine, like that song. It's got a richness to this, like that wine. But it's also a wine that's a little mysterious because it's a little different every time it's made.
Oh, I'm learning so much.
We are heading to another country. We're heading to Germany.
Germany, yes. This is a holiday that just passed, Krampusnacht, where instead of Santa, the demon Krampusnacht comes out and chases little children for being bad.
Thank you.
I picture a story to this. Like, it should be in, like, a Broadway musical.
Oh, 100%. There's always a sleigh. There's always a bag the children get put into. They get chased.
All right, Rick.
Shouldn't laugh.
Well, that's a difficult. So, you know, you said Germany, and I'm thinking, because Germany, it's a cooler wine region, and they make lots of Riesling. And
I was going to say, you were going to go sweet, weren't you?
Or lighter, brighter wine. So they do make some reds. And the Pinot Noir there is very, very good. And one of the things about their Pinot is it has this these layers of depth because cooler regions make Pinot that has – the wines have a story. Their Pinots have a story like that song. So I'm going with the German Pinot Noir.
I love that.
I love – oh, and last but not least, we're going Irish-American.
Irish-American.
This has some levity to it.
Oh, yeah. It's just called Christmas Jig with Yo-Yo Ma.
It just makes you happy.
Doesn't it? Yeah, I'm sitting here smiling.
Yeah, that's a good one. Another tough one. So Ireland really does not have much of a long wine.
I think whiskey, too, yeah.
No, but you know what I'm going with? I'm going with mead.
Ooh.
Oh, nice.
And not just any mead. You can find these sparkling mead.
Oh, my gosh. You're kidding.
Yeah. I'm going to go search for that.
If I can put a plug in for Lucid Winery, which is...
I love Lucid.
Yeah, Lucid
in,
makes
in Midtown.
In Midtown. And they make a sparkling mead. And it is perfect for this song because it's not as sweet as you expect. It's a little bit, but it's light and it's a happy wine. So there we go. We're going sparkling mead for an Irish American
song. It's like a down home quality to mead too. That feels right for a jig, doesn't it?
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. So speaking of sparkling, can I ask a quick quiz for you guys? So how many bubbles do you think is in a bottle of sparkling wine?
I remember you asked this last year, and I don't remember my response, but I'm going to say millions.
Yeah.
Millions.
Seems about right.
There are millions. So the University of Reims Champagne d'Ardonne, which is the UC Davis of the Champagne region, right? They study wine, and they do all kinds of stuff, and they study all kinds of reasons to perfect the carbonation within the... And so, like, for example, that will tell us that there's 6 atmospheres inside a bottle of champagne.
That's amazing.
They used to say 100 million bottles. And a lot of places you'll see like 23, and I don't know where that number comes from, but they say, with great authority, 5 million bubbles.
Wow.
Although,
5 million.
Yes. Although, remember, it could be a trick question, too, because there are actually no bubbles until it's opened.
Right. And then when you open it, I mean, I know sometimes people want to get festive and, like, saber it off, which is, you know, you want to be safe. But also, other people, you know, if you don't want to do that, you know, will, like, pop off the cork. But you kind of advise against that.
Oh, yeah, no, don't pop it. I mean, it's super fun. If you have a really, really cheap bottle of wine, sure, pop it, and then we'll get a good bottle. But what happens is, not only do you lose the wine, but you also lose the bubbles. You lose a lot of that carbonation right at the start.
Interesting.
And we certainly don't want to do that. Can I ask you another quiz?
Yeah.
Okay, we were just talking about this outside. So why do you think that the bubbles in a flute come straight up?
I got this answer wrong.
I think it's because, just all the carbonation. If it hits down, it kind of, the reaction it creates, it kind of like bounces back up in true effervescence. I don't know.
Yes. Well, actually, it's because the flute makers cheat. They put a little notch at the bottom of the wine so that you get that really pretty stream. If you get a really inexpensive flute, you'll see they come up a little less evenly. But that, you know, but who doesn't love that little lovely stream of bubbles? Yes.
I love that. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, those are my bar questions.
Learned a lot today. Thank you so much, Rick and Jennifer. It's
so
always
fun.
A fun tradition.
Thanks for having us.
I look forward to it each year.
That is our wine expert, Rick Cushman, and Jennifer Reason, who is Cap Radio's classical host. And we have posted Rick's list of favorite sparkling wines from California. It is on our insight page at capradio.org. And be sure to catch Jennifer's special, December Around the World, on December 20th, which is next Wednesday. And then it will re-air on Christmas Eve. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.